May the peace of our risen Lord be with you. In the fall, I arrived here early one Sunday morning, one might say as the first day of the week was dawning. I got out of my car, and as I walked across the back parking lot to the children's area entrance, I noticed a lot of feathers. There's a large black cat that lives in the drain back there, and so I assumed that it had gotten a bird. But when I got to the children's area door, I looked to my right, and out in the grass was a fox with a rooster in its mouth. When the fox saw me, it ran away, which was good because I don't think I ever learned what to do when confronted with a fox. But the rooster just lay there, dead. I knew that I was going to have to figure out how to bury a rooster before everyone else got here. But that was something they didn't teach me in seminary. And I had all my stuff with me for a long Sunday at church, so I decided to go and set it all down and come back. About the time that I opened the back door, Ginger Parham, who had come to complete her Deacon of the Week duties, came down the stairs into the children's area. I passed along the news of the dead rooster, and we decided to tackle the burial together. Ginger was pretty sure that she had seen a shovel in the youth house, so we walked over to get it, and the rooster was still just lying there, but we noticed that it was still breathing, and so we moved more quickly so that we could put the rooster out of its misery. When we came back out with the shovel, we walked out to where the rooster lay. It was indeed still breathing, but it seemed clear that it would not recover. So Ginger started to put the shovel to the rooster's neck. This is the moment where I have to confess that Ginger is a braver woman than I am. Just as the shovel pressed to the rooster's neck, that rooster hopped up and walked off. It was ready to keep living its one wild and precious life. Resurrection happens in unexpected places. In this morning's gospel lesson, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. They had been at the tomb. They had watched Jesus die. They had helped Joseph of Arimathea lay Jesus' body in the tomb and roll the stone across the door. And then, presumably, they left the tomb to go and prepare for Sabbath, returning as quickly as they could after Sabbath, as the day was dawning on the first day of the week. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. And that was the moment where their whole world changed. Our whole world changed. Everything was changed. The angel tells Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, "Do not be afraid." Even when the news is the very best news in the history of the world, it is still earth-shattering. We've heard this story so many times that we may have grown desensitized to it, but fear is a natural response to what has happened. Do not be afraid. Jesus is not here. He has been raised. Come and see where he lay. Go tell the disciples. And they went with fear and great joy. Just as at the cross, sorrow and love flow mingled down, so at the tomb, fear and joy float up and out. We must examine our fear so that we might live the good news. But we also must be careful, especially on this day, to recognize that the joy of the resurrection is not some kind of Pollyanna optimism. It's not a check your grief, despair, and fear at the door kind of joy. It is the kind of joy that lives alongside every human emotion. It is the kind of joy that tells us that even in the midst of grief and despair and fear, the risen Christ is with us. It is the kind of joy born in hope. An earthquake and an empty tomb are not what the women expected. They were expecting a crypt, but they found instead a crib where hope was birthed. Resurrection happens in unexpected places. The women run to tell the disciples, and suddenly Jesus meets them. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary fall at his feet and worship him. One imagines that there were tears, laughter, maybe even some dancing, expressions of fear and joy. Jesus tells them himself, "Do not be afraid." And then he sends them on their way to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, some 40 miles away, where they will see him. Matthew doesn't tell us much more after that. There are not numerous resurrection appearances like in some of the other gospels. There is only this brief appearance to the women, and then the disciples do as they are told and meet Jesus in Galilee, where they too worship him, even though some are doubtful. The joy of the resurrection can live alongside our doubt, too. At this gathering in Galilee, Jesus speaks familiar words, the Great Commission, some have come to call them. He tells the disciples to go and make more disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded. We know from John's account that the last time the disciples were all with Jesus, before many of them scattered in fear, was the night when Jesus washed their feet and shared the Passover meal and gave them a new commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. Perhaps this was on their minds as Jesus told them to obey everything he commanded. After all, he had taught them to love one another with his very life. Much has been made of making disciples and baptizing them and teaching them to obey Jesus' commandments. And sometimes Jesus' final words in Matthew get lost. But they are the root of our hope, the reason we make disciples. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The hope of the resurrection, not just after we die, promise of being with God, a promise that would be enough if we didn't have to live on this side. The hope of the resurrection is rooted in the presence of God with us now and even to the end of the age. Resurrection happens in unexpected places. My most Sunday practice is to sit in this space as the sun rises. The sun comes up in these windows and spreads across the pews. Sometimes there is a rooster that crows. As the sun spreads, I can imagine it spreading over each of you, beloved children of God, in the places where you have sat, some of you for year after year, some of you for the first time today, some of you not in some time, but still here in my memory and in my heart. I can imagine the new mercies that spread over you, over all of us, mercies that come with the rising of the sun, with a new day that some of us get to face and that others of us have to face, the mercy that mingles with joy and fear, with grief and despair, with the hope that rises with the sun. On this Easter Sunday morning, I pray that you might rest, not just today, but for today and for the next, for this hour and the next, for this moment and the next, and even unto the end of the age, that you might rest in the hope that comes from knowing that resurrection happens in unexpected places, because Christ the Lord is risen. Alleluia. Amen.
As we come to the close of this hour of worship, you are invited to make important decisions for our Lord and our Lord's church during this time of response.